morning. We have a good number here this morning. We appreciate your presence. We have several visitors. I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. Those who regularly worship here, I'm encouraged by your presence as well. And it's always good to be able to spend some time on the Lord's Day in a study of His Word. In the summer of 1982 and the summer of 1983, my brother Mark and I had a summer job with a contractor in San Antonio, Texas, Mr. Collins. And Mr. Collins was primarily a remodeler, so all of our work was pretty much remodeling work. And my brother and I were assigned the task of all the grunt work. You tear out the cabinets, you tear out the floors, you tear out the walls, you tear out the tub. You tear out anything that you can tear out. You basically show up with a couple of items, a hammer and a crowbar, and you just start tearing stuff out, and a pair of gloves. And so we did a lot of work that involved tearing out and tearing down. This morning I want us to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10 in a lesson that I've entitled Construction and deconstruction. Brethren and friends, we need to understand that when it comes to the Word of God, we need to be balanced in our preaching and teaching and studying and understanding of the Word of God. Sometimes we need to construct and build up, and sometimes we need to destruct and tear down. And by the way, young people, just as a side note, if you don't have a summer job, get one. For the good of yourself and your parents, get a summer job. But that's another sermon. It's good for you. I learned a lot, actually, that I've carried with me to this day. You'll learn a lot. But there's a need to sometimes build up, and there's a need sometimes to tear down. Just yesterday, I was spraying Roundup around the house to kill the weeds. It's a good hot day. Good day for Roundup to work. So I sprayed some Roundup. I want to get rid of the weeds. I want to get that out of the places around the house. I want the good to grow. I want the bad to be killed. There's different places in our life and different situations in our life where we realize the importance of getting rid of the bad and promoting the good. If you've ever been to the dentist, well, they're going to get rid of all the bad stuff before they put the good stuff in there. If you go to a doctor, they want to get rid of what's bad and they want to leave what is healthy. We have these things all over our lives. I think every lady here this morning would probably be on board with a brand new kitchen maybe later this week, or a brand new bathroom later this week, or something else. And we are all in favor of those kinds of things. But brethren and friends, I find it quite surprising that in the most important part of our life, sometimes we don't want that. When it comes to our soul and when it comes to our relationship with God, we don't want the tearing down. We don't want the negativity. We want everything to be positive and rosy. We don't mind being negative, if you will, and tearing down when it comes to ripping up those old floors and getting a brand new bathroom or tearing out those old cabinets and getting a new kitchen. We're all for it. But when it comes to the sermons that I hear every week, I don't want anything negative. I don't want anything, you know, like that. I just want positive, rosy, cotton candy messages. But in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10, Jeremiah is told that in his preaching work, he's going to be tearing down, and he's going to be building up. I have set you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. When we want to go out to the garden or we want to go out to the flower bed, we want to get rid of all of that bad stuff, pull up all the weeds, and we want to plant what is good. Brethren, the same should be true for our spiritual lives with God. We need to get rid of the bad. There's a time for deconstruction. There's a time for deconstruction. There's a time for tearing down. And I'm afraid, brethren, that my fear is that among some, even among us, We don't want that anymore. When I was young, it was perfectly fine to have a regular diet of what we call positive and negative preaching. But today we're moving into a climate of where we just want positive only. It's actually been going on since about 1990. And I won't get into all of the historical background to that, but there has been a divergence among what we call non-institutional brethren, where some want positive only. And there's actually a divide among us, and it shows up. It shows up in who we invite for our gospel meetings. It shows up in who we invite for our lectureships. I've known for many, many years that certain brethren are not invited because they're a little bit too negative. Where did we get that idea? It's been planted in our mind that there's this positive preaching and there's this negative preaching, and we want positive only. And it shows up. And it shows up among us. So this morning, I want to remind us from Jeremiah. We're starting a Jeremiah class, and if you're in the area and you're not currently in our Bible classes, I would encourage you to do that. Our Bible classes are good for all of us on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And we're starting a Bible class on Jeremiah, and his work is to build up and to tear down. His preaching would build people up and give them hope and give them encouragement and a message of salvation. And his preaching would also tear down sin and error and bad practices in the lives of individuals. And we're going to see that we need that in our life today. We need it. We don't need cotton candy preaching every week. We need balance. We need that which is going to confront that which is in us that we need to get out of us. We don't want to go to a doctor who tells us only the positive. We've got cancer growing in our body, but he won't ever tell us anything. I just want to tell you the positive. We don't want a doctor like that. Why would we want an approach to the Word of God like that in something more valuable than our body, our soul? When you look at Jeremiah chapter 1 and you look at his call, come back with me to verse 4. Now the word of Jehovah came unto me saying, Behold, I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I have appointed thee a prophet unto the nations. I've called you to preach and proclaim the word of God. And we're not being called the same way today, brethren, like Jeremiah was. But we are called through the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. We're called through the gospel. And when we are called to become a Christian, there are obligations as a Christian to go take the Word of God to others. God wants us to keep telling people today of the Word of God. And then we find in verse 6, Then I said, Ah, Lord Jehovah, behold, I know not how to speak, for I am a child. And It's typical and common and tempting to offer up an excuse. As soon as we read something in the New Testament, all of a sudden we want to make an excuse as to why we can't do such and such. And Jeremiah, like Moses in Exodus 3 and 4, had to learn that I can't be offering up excuses. I just need to get out and do what God wants me to do. And then we read in verse 7, But Jehovah said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for to whomsoever I shall send thee, thou shalt go, and whatsoever I shall command thee, thou shalt speak. Go to all people and preach all that I have commanded thee. Look at that. Whomsoever I shall send and whatsoever I shall command. And we've got people here in Clarksville and Montgomery County that we can go to and talk with them about the Word of God. They are in a lost condition, and we can help them with the Word of God. And then the encouragement in verse 8, Be not afraid because of them, for I am with thee to deliver thee, says the Lord. God gives Jeremiah a very tall order, but he matches with that a tall encouragement. I'm going to be with you. It's going to be difficult, but I'm going to be with you. And we have that encouragement in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, that I will never leave you or forsake you. We have God's encouragement today, but we have a tall order. It's difficult sometimes to talk with others about the Word of God. But we can do it, and we can have God's help in doing that. And then come with me to verse 9. We find the equipment that Jeremiah would be using. What was his equipment? Then Jehovah put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Jehovah said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. My words, not Jeremiah's opinions, not what he thought and what he felt and what society said, but his equipment was the Word of God. The Word of God tears down and the Word of God builds up. And that's what we use today. We're not going to turn to gimmicks and fun and games and humor and that type of thing. We're going to appeal to the Word of God to help others. And then we find his work in verse 10. I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down and to destroy. There are times when he's going to take the Word of God and he's going to firmly denounce the sin of the people. When was the last time you heard a really good, firm sermon against sin? Some of that is going by the wayside. Some of that's going away. And sometimes we're shielding ourselves from that. We purposely put ourselves in situations where we don't have to hear that kind of thing. And I'm afraid some brethren are purposely putting themselves in situations by the interaction that they're having with whomever, that I never have to hear anything negative. When you read the first 20 chapters of Jeremiah, much of it is negative. Very, very negative. Scathing rebukes. That's what they needed. And when you go to the dentist and when you go to the doctor and other places, you want just people to be honest with you, even though it hurts. Because that's when you can begin to get help. And then you can look at Jeremiah 30 through 33. He's very positive and uplifting and hopeful and encouraging and promises of salvation and so forth to those who will come to God. It's both, brethren. It's not one or the other. It's both. And so this morning I want us to consider that. There's a time to build up and there's a time to tear down. And we need to place ourselves within a congregation and within a setting where we can regularly get both. You can't live on a diet of cotton candy and Coke every day. You just can't do it. It's not good for you. Just like we need a balanced physical diet, we need a balanced spiritual diet. Now, there are times when we don't need to be tearing down. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1. A wise woman builds up her home, but a foolish woman tears it down. We don't need to be tearing down anything that is good. We don't need to be tearing down anything that is good. And when someone can build up a family with godly principles and godly practices, but then someone can come along and tear down a family, we don't need to ever tear down what is good and righteous and godly. We don't ever need to do that. What we're talking about this morning, brethren, is tearing down that which is wrong. We should never go out and tear down what's good. If this is something that God wants, if it is something that is a biblical principle, if it's a righteous principle, we should never tear that down in our home or anywhere else. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 29 with regard to the king. Proverbs 29 verse 4, the king by justice establishes the land. You will build up a nation and a country with leadership that is based upon righteousness and justice. That was in our founding forefathers. But then you have a person come along, verse 4, but he that exacts gifts overthrows it. If we're going to base this whole thing on bribery and corruption, you're going to tear down a good nation. We should never tear down what is good. What we're talking about is tearing down what is wrong. And there is a time to do that. And by the way, let's remind ourselves from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that it's not just simply a time to do this or that, but turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that very familiar passage about a time for all of these things. I think sometimes we forget that about verse 10 and following. These different times come from God. God wants these different times. So when you start reading in verse 1 and following all these different times, they are from God. And we're reminded in verse 3 that God wants there to be a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. This comes from God, verse 10. It's the work of God, verse 11. It's a gift of God, verse 13. Don't stop reading at the end of a time for this and a time for that. Keep reading and you'll see that it's from God. And God wants there to be a time to break down. And God wants there to be a time to build up. He wants that. And we need that in our spiritual lives. And we need to make sure that in our contact with the Word of God on a regular basis, we're getting that balance. Do you know that some people operate in life where I just want to be surrounded by yes men who tell me things that I want to hear. I don't want to surround myself with anybody that's negative. I don't want to surround myself with anybody that's going to teach me the truth. Turn with me to 1 Kings 22. Do you remember when Ahab and Jehoshaphat were going to battle against the Syrians? And Jehoshaphat says, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord besides this that we may inquire of him?" And Ahab said in 1 Kings 22:8, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of Jehovah, Micaiah, the son of Imla, but I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." Ahab didn't like the prophet Micaiah. He never says anything good about me. You know why? Because you're a bad man. That's why. You're evil. And Micaiah is going to come to you and talk with you about the evil that is in your life. He's not going to placate you and say, "Oh, you're a great guy, Ahab." Ahab, "Well, he doesn't ever say anything good about me." Because you're not a good person. You need to hear what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And people do that today, brethren. We isolate and move ourselves toward people who, "Well, I like such and such preacher. He preaches it the way I want to hear it. He preaches marriage, divorce, and remarriage the way I want to hear it." And we put ourselves in positions, then we don't like the person who's going to say something that's negative. And when Micaiah showed up, obviously he told these men the truth. And verse 24, he's struck. And in verse 27, put him in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction. I don't like it. And unfortunately, if we're not careful, we can end up in the same situation today. Do you know the problem with not tearing down things? You know what the problem is? You're going to have spiritual weakness in your life. Listen, and this happened often during those summers of remodeling. Mr. Collins would say, "Boys, get in there and tear out that old flooring and subflooring." That was nasty. It was nasty. It was gross. Some of those walls were gross. And he wasn't following any kind of OSHA laws or anything. We were breathing lead paint, scraping lead paint, breathing that. We were breathing asbestos, pulling down old asbestos tiles. No telling what I picked up from that. But you can't go in there and put a floor on top of a bad floor. You're going to have weakness. So if we want to come into our lives, brethren, which is everything's rosy, and so you got this nice flooring down there, but you put it on top of
bad subflooring and rotten subflooring, it's just going to be weak. You've got to get that out first and get it all the way down to the floor joist, tear it all out, and then lay your new flooring, and you'll have a solid foundation there. So number one, you're going to have spiritual weakness. Number two, you're going to have imbalance. Our life is going to be spiritually out of balance. And so we've got to have both. You can go into the dentist and try to fill a cavity without taking out the cavity and the bad stuff. You can do that. It's just not going to last very long. And what you're going to have is, you're going to have a lack of Bible truth. You're not going to get the whole counsel of God. God's Word has a complete message to it. Some of it is negative in nature. Some of it is positive in nature. But if we gravitate toward the positive only, we're not even getting all of what God wants for us. That's why it's important for us to read all of our Bible in our daily Bible reading. That's why it's good to have Bible classes that cover all the books of the Bible and every chapter and every verse where you're getting all of these kinds of things. Otherwise, you got it in your mind that, well, you know, God is just this rosy person and everything will be fine. Those of you who are reading through Proverbs with me this month, we read chapter 6 today. There are some things that God hates. There's some things that God hates. Well, I didn't know that. It's because we're not balanced in our Bible truths. And so, you know, little refrigerator magnets, you know, will have these positive little things on it. And this little plaque will have some little positive thing. But we're getting just a very small portion of the Word of God. We've got to have all of God's Word in our lives on a regular basis. Elders have a lot to do with that. Preachers have a lot to do with that. Local congregations have a lot to do with that. So let's consider this matter of building up and tearing down. First of all, Jeremiah did this. This was the kind of preaching that he did in several places in the book of Jeremiah itself. We won't take time this morning to look at all of these, but several other times in the book of Jeremiah, this idea of tearing down and building up is mentioned. You can come with me to chapter 18, for example, where God is speaking here of the work that He's going to do. Jeremiah 18:7. In what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to break down and to destroy it. And Roger was talking about this morning in class. This physically happened with nations where God physically brought them down. If that nation concerning which I have spoken turn from their evil, that would include Judah, I will repent of the evil that I have thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom to build and to plant, if they do that which is evil in my sight, that they obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. God tears down and God builds up, depending upon how you're going to act, according to His word and will. How will you and I act? It's up to us. Jeremiah did this in his preaching. Do you know that Jesus did this in His preaching? Jesus did this. Turn with me to the Sermon on the Mount. Turn with me to the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most well-known sermons of Jesus. What kind of a preacher was Jesus? Well, when you start reading here, what we call the Beatitudes, these blessed, happy states, that's pretty positive. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Very uplifting and positive and encouraging and hopeful and all of these great happy states that a person can be in if they will have these qualities in their life. But come down with me to chapter 6 and verse 1, where he comes down pretty hard on doing things to be seen of men, doing good works and praying and fasting just to be seen of men. And he comes down hard and says, stop doing that. Stop going out doing things to be seen of men. Come down to chapter 7, verse 1, where he condemns hypocritical judgment. Come down to chapter 7, where he says that many are traveling the broad way that leads to destruction, hell, fire. Wow, Jesus, now you've gone and gotten negative on us. Both are needed, brethren. Both are needed. And we need to remember that. There's a time to tear down, and there's a time to build up. Both are needed. The reason why our culture, and I'm afraid some brethren, have gravitated toward the positive only is like Ahab. We don't want to hear that we're doing something that's wrong. We don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear when I go to the dentist, I've got such and such. I don't want to hear when I go to the doctor, I have such and such. We don't want to hear it, but we need to so that we can get better. And our society as a whole is this positive only thing, and it's a way to mask their sinful lives, insulate their sinful lives so I don't ever have to hear anything negative. And unfortunately, the denominations have been doing that for years, and now brethren have gotten on board and some have done the same. With some brethren, they might stand up and preach against some worldliness. You might hear a lesson against homosexuality or something like that. But if it's something that's going on among brethren, that's a big no-no. You don't bring that up. We'll still condemn some things out in the world, but if it's going on among brethren, it's kind of more hush-hush. And those congregations tend to get larger and larger and get filled up with more and more people. Why? Because the preaching every week is so cotton candy that nobody feels offended at anything anymore, and so the numbers just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Paul did this. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. There's a time where you just need to tear down. You just need to tear down. If the wall is not sound, just tear it down. If the flooring is not good, just tear it up and get it out of there. Rick is sitting back there. He's done a lot of that stuff in his life. He can tell you. Rick will tell you, you just need to tear it out. Just tear it out. You can't keep it around. You can't build on it. You can't work with it. And Paul said that his preaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. This is not physical fighting that's going on, but taking the word of God to fight a spiritual fight. But mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds. You need to just tear some things down. The casting down of imaginations or reasonings, and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Sometimes you have to tear stuff down so that you can learn how to obey Christ. Later in the chapter in verse 8 and then chapter 13 in verse 10, Paul talks about his authority. And I wanted to make a comment on that real quick because some people read those two verses. Paul said, the Lord gave me authority for building up and not for casting down. And so they take that out of context and say, Paul was never a negative preacher. No, you've got to keep it in the context of chapter 10, 11, 12, and 13. Paul is talking about, when I'm with you, I don't want to be casting you down. I want to be building you up. On another occasion in chapter 13, he said, if you don't repent, I'm going to come with a rod. Paul could be negative. Paul could be firm. But in 10:8 and 13:10, he's talking about, brethren, with you, I don't want to be like that. I want to use my authority to build up, not to tear down. Please change your ways. That's what he's saying in those two verses. Let's look at an example of this. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Did you know that sometimes when Paul was preaching and teaching, in the very same verse, literally in the same verse, he was tearing down and building up in the same verse? Did you know that? We need both. Ephesians 4, 25. Wherefore, putting away all falsehood, tearing down, speak truth each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, build up. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil, tearing down. Let him who stole steal no more, tearing down, but rather let him labor with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have whereof to give to him that has need. That's why we work. Verse 29, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, the negative, tearing down, but such as is good for edifying, the positive, building up, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you have sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice. There's your tearing down. And here's your positive, building up. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. Do you see how that works? If you're doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing, stop it. And then start doing the things that are good. I love how balanced Paul was. In Colossians chapter 3, he has a section on putting away the old man. And he lists several things there. And then he talks about the positive, putting on the new man. Turn to Galatians 5. He talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Stop doing these things. They'll keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. And then he turns right around and says, but bear the fruits of the Spirit. Stop the works of the flesh. Bear the fruits of the Spirit. How balanced Paul was. And Jesus. And Jeremiah. And we need to be that today. Parents, we need to be that. As parents, we need to be that. As grandparents, we need to be that. As preachers, as elders, as members of the church, we need to be balanced. That's what God wants in our lives. And Paul told Timothy to do this. Turn with me in our scripture reading. Paul told Timothy about the Word of God. We commonly turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 with regard to every scripture inspired of God. What is it profitable for, Paul? For teaching. But then he says, for reproof. Reproof is taking the Word of God and reproving someone, telling them that they're wrong and that they need to change. Well, preacher, I don't ever want to hear anything like that. We need to hear that from time to time. And we take the Word of God to do that. For correction, for instruction which is in righteousness. So the Word of God is what we use, and it causes us to be complete. Look at verse 17. That the man of God, and we know from other passages, those who hear him, they will be complete. Not imbalanced, not out of balance, but fully balanced, complete, furnished completely under every good work. And then he goes into this. I charge you in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season. Look at this. Reprove. The word literally means to bring to proof, to take the word of God and prove to someone that they're not living right. Reprove. Rebuke. Oh, wait a minute. Now, we can't have that. That's too negative. I don't want to go on Sunday morning and hear a sermon that rebukes me. Well, if I need it, I need it. And it's good for me. But he doesn't stop there. He says, exhort with all longsuffering and teach. Both are needed. Both are needed. So Paul did it, and he told Timothy to do it. And John did it. In Revelation chapter 2, there were three of the seven churches. We've been going through the churches of Asia. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. With regard to Ephesus, with regard to Thyatira, and with regard to Pergamum, John, Jesus, through John, tore down and built up, tore down the things that were wrong, told them what they're doing that is wrong, and told them what they were doing that was right and encouraged them to do that. I wonder, would John be allowed in a pulpit today? Would Paul be allowed in the pulpit today? Would Jesus be allowed in pulpits today? Revelation 2 and verse 2, with regard to Ephesus, they were patient and they tried evil men and they were teaching the right kind of things. They were patient and they bared for the name of Christ. But in verse 4, they had left their first love. See, John, you went and blew it right there. You should have just stopped with verse 2 and 3. Why did you have to go say something negative? Your sermon went just a little too long. You should have just stopped with the positive. No, they had left their first love and they needed to hear that. The same thing with Pergamum. Some were being faithful, verse 13, but they were compromising with error, verse 14. With regard to Thyatira, in verse 18 and 19, they were working, they were growing, they were talented, but verse 20, they are allowing Jezebel to teach and seduce people to commit fornication. Building up and tearing down. Both are needed. So as we come to the close of our lesson this morning, there is just simply a time to tear down. We need to tear down sin and bad habits. If there is sin and bad habits in my life, I need to hear something that's going to get that out of my life. Sin is terrible, and we're going to be reminded in the book of Jeremiah what God feels about sin. He's not comfortable with it. He's not okay with it. It's terrible. And when one sin is in my life, I need to hear about that. Something from the Word of God that will help me to get that out of my life. That's got to be torn down and torn out. I need to hear condemnation from time to time. I need to hear that I need to repent. I need to hear that judgment is coming. I need to hear that. That's reality. I told you before that when I was young and I obeyed the gospel one night after hearing my father, he was coming down hard on sin. He was coming down hard on it. And that's what got me to stand up and go forward and be baptized into Christ. And I'm glad I did. And I know you're glad you did. We've got to hear those kinds of things. Man-made religious practices have to be torn down. We live in a world, there's so much denominationalism today. Everybody thinks that everything's fine. It's not. It's not. Jesus built one church. And we've got thousands of denominations in these practices and traditions and creeds and errors. With the Word of God, they need to be torn down. And when I was young, and when you were, some of you that are older were young, you probably remember hearing sermons about tearing down denominational things. When was the last time you heard a really good sermon against faith only, instrumental music, things involving baptism, all of those kinds of things? When's the last time you heard one? Jesus tore down things in Matthew 6. He tore down traditions in Matthew 15. He came down hard on the Pharisees in Matthew 23. Paul condemned human philosophies in Colossians chapter 2. We need to tear down. And we need preaching and teaching, and in my own life as I read the Word of God, we need to be open to tearing down. It's not popular, it's not comfortable, but it's absolutely needed. Have you ever gone down the road, you'll see these construction work ahead. There'll be a big sign, construction work ahead. Construction, the word construction is on there. But when you get into the construction zone, what often do you see on the road? A lot of times I'll see them pulling up the pavement. They're tearing up the pavement. They've got that big machine that tears up the asphalt and gets rid of it so that they can construct later. They're deconstructing first so that they can construct on top of it. We need it in our lives. And when we go to try to build the positive, encouraging kinds of things on top of that other, it's not going to stick. We've got to deconstruct first and then construct on top of that. We've got to get rid of these kinds of things. There are so many isms out there, we couldn't even begin to talk about all of them. Naturalism, also known as evolution, atheism, secularism, humanism, materialism. All these philosophies in our society today. And it's piped into our kids' phones. It's piped into our kids' lives through their phones and through the internet and their computers and social media. It's piped in. They're filling their minds with it. And if we don't have something to tear that down, to deconstruct that from the Word of God, they're just going to build their lives on that. That's what they're going to build their lives on. That's what they hear all the time. And then last of all, to end on a positive note, if you will, we need to build up. We absolutely need to build up. When Jeremiah started preaching, he did that as well. New Christians need to be built up. Let's be mindful of our new converts when someone is baptized into Christ. Let's be mindful to spend time with them and teach some lessons with them and have them in our homes and encourage them. The devil is going to want to completely get a hold of them. It reminds me of Jesus being baptized in Matthew 3, and then the very next story there, the temptation, here comes the devil. And so here comes the devil right after somebody's baptized. We've got to build them up and encourage them and give them hope and strengthen their faith. We've got to use Bible verses and classes and lessons to encourage them. When Jeremiah was preaching, there's a section there in chapter 30 through 33 where he talks about God's grace. And he gives hope and he gives salvation. He had a scathing rebuke in the earlier part of his book. He marches into the temple in Jeremiah chapter 70. He goes into the temple and he just blasts them with the hypocrisy and the sins that are in their lives. The formalism, they're going through the motions. But then later, he's able to give them hope if they will turn to God and they can be a part of the faithful remnant. We've got to do that as well. New Christians need to be built up. Erring Christians need to be built up. There are Christians who have left us and gone out into the world. They're not here. They don't come anymore. The world has gotten a hold of them, and we've got to talk with them. Members here, we've got to talk with them and help them to be built up again and encouraged. We don't want to lose them to the devil. And faithful Christians need to be built up. I believe I'm surrounded this morning by many faithful and godly brethren. And you need lessons as well to encourage you to stay faithful to the Lord. The work of Jeremiah was tearing down and building up. We need that balance in our lives. Jeff mentioned in class, I'm glad he did, Luke chapter 2, about verse 34, that this child, Simeon, was talking about the child Jesus, the newborn Jesus, brought into the temple. He would be appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Those who rejected Jesus would fall terribly to their spiritual depths. Those who believed and obeyed Jesus would rise to spiritual heights. It's up to you. It's up to me. One word of God, how are we going to take it in our lives? Let's understand the importance that there is a time to tear down, Ecclesiastes 3:3, and there's a time to build up.
And if we will apply that principle in our spiritual lives, we will be right with God. There may be someone here this morning that needs to come and put on Christ in baptism. Please don't delay. Please don't wait. You will be eternally lost in that state. Please let us help you to get out of that. If there's an erring child of God here this morning that wants to come back, let us help you do that as well. Let's leave right with God. And if we can help you on that matter, why won't you come as we stand and sing?